Hi, this is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy. Thanks for joining our show again.
Hi, Matt. It's great to be back again.
So I wanted to spend some time today discussing a topic that was recently written about, and that was that researchers at Secure Science have devised a new Twitter attack that they say could spread virally like a worm through Twitter. Have you heard of this?
Yes, I have. I actually saw the article about that. And I would be negligent not to point out that Twitter isn't the only social networking site that can be vulnerable to these types of attacks.
Right.
One of the enablers was a cross-site scripting flaw, and those vulnerabilities have been cropping up all over the internet, not just even with social networking sites. However, with social networking sites, it becomes a lot easier to propagate things. I'm not exactly sure if worm is the right word, but because people tend to have many contacts and these attacks can automatically send an unauthorized message to all of a person's contacts, and the people receiving them believe that their friend actually sent the message, they're likely to click on the links.
Interesting. Yeah, they were mentioning that the hack is similar to a clickjacking attack that was making its rounds on Twitter last month. Are you familiar with this attack? And I guess why the need to attack social networking sites in particular?
I'm familiar with that attack. And the answer to why the need to attack social networking sites, it's because it makes social engineering so much easier. Part of social engineering, a big part, is trying to convince someone to do something that they wouldn't want to do if they knew what it was. Well, the easiest way to convince many people to click on a link, which is where the trouble generally starts, is to make the message come from a trusted source. And on social networking sites, people tend to let their guards down and instantly assume that any message, no matter how out of the blue or irrelevant it seems, came from the person they thought sent it. And so people will click on the links. And because of the nature of a network, it isn't just one-to-one. You compromise one account and you send messages to potentially dozens, hundreds, even 1,000 or more accounts. And so that makes social networking sites a very low-cost, high-yield attack vector.
Interesting. I mean, is there something then in particular that Twitter needs to be doing or that social networking sites need to be doing to better protect their service? Or is this something that really does lie with the end user's education to these type of attacks?
There's a combination of defenses here. Yeah, Twitter needed to disable the cross-site scripting flaw, which allowed this specific attack to happen. Web browsers are increasingly attempting to prevent cross-site scripting. I know Microsoft's Internet Explorer 8 has some enhancements to help prevent cross-site scripting attacks. It's not going to eliminate them. Firefox has NoScript, but in my experience with NoScript, which I've been using for a while now, it takes a little bit more educated user to use it effectively or people are going to give up, because you have to know when to allow things and not allow things. If you just allow everything, you may as well not have it, pretty much. So there's some technological partial solutions, but education is going to be the big part, and being suspicious of links that are sent to you out of the blue is a top tip.
Absolutely. And I guess even through these social networking sites, and even with Twitter being a primarily mobile platform, there are still concerns with clicking on links. Is that correct?
That is correct. And, you know, it's one of the reasons I like to use Sandbox IE. I've talked about that in the past. Sandbox is the web browser. Because even a skilled security researcher can at some point fall for something stupid and make a mistake. And so when I get messages from the community that I work with, I tend to put a little bit more trust in them, and I am more likely to click, but I do it with the added level of protection of the web links are sandboxed, and I don't just download and run files from anyone.
Do you think it's getting easier for folks to target Twitter in particular because of some of the new free text messaging plans and the low cost that it has become to work on mobile devices?
I wouldn't necessarily say that it's easier to target Twitter. Twitter is in the enviable position of growing pretty quickly, and that draws a lot of attention. So it unfortunately makes Twitter a higher value target. So it isn't so much the ease. There are probably social networking sites out there that can be attacked a lot more easily, but the return isn't as high for the attacker. So it's their success that makes them a big juicy target.
Interesting. I mean, we've learned some of the rules related to email scams with not clicking on links or opening attachments from unknown senders. Do the same rules apply? I mean, should we take the knowledge that we have with email and transform that for both social networking and places like Twitter?
Absolutely. I mean, you need to understand, and a lot of people still don't, that even with email, the sender's ID can be spoofed. I can send you an email that looks like it came from Bill Gates. So the ID can be spoofed. Additionally, if my computer gets infected, it can be caused to send email that actually does come from my account, but I didn't type in the message. I didn't type in the link. So it's a good idea to double check with the sender. Did you actually mean to send me that link, or talk to me a little bit about this link? What is it? Make sure that everything is in context and you're actually dealing with the person you know.
Well, Randy, as always, that's good advice for our listeners. And if you do have any further questions on this topic for Randy, feel free to email him at askeset@eset.com. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.